Ladies, I have a special request tonight. We are going to do something totally crazy different tonight. And so I hope that you will play along, okay? So anyway, here's the deal, is that I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 groups, okay? So since we're doing something a little different, I need you guys to kind of cooperate with me a little bit. And let's see here. I've got 1, 2, 3. I'm losing track. 4, 5, 6, 7. About how many rows do we have there? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. About 7 rows? Okay. Here's my thought. How about this first row? You're a group. One continuous group. The second row, one continuous group. The third row, one continuous group. The fourth and the fifth and the sixth. And then the mommies and the last people, the mommies and babies can kind of join in wherever you can squish around. But we need 7 groups. So I'm just going to let you guys be thinking about who you're with and where you need to go. And I'm going to let Barbara start.
All right, let's bow our heads and pray before Roxanne teaches us. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you, God, that we can be together as women. Father, I pray that our hearts would open up right now, that we can close our minds from whatever's been distracting us all day and what's been distracting us the last few minutes possibly, and really give our ear and give our heart to Roxanne and what she has to share, God. And I pray that it would be a very dynamic class, that she'd just really be with her as she teaches us and shows us the Word, Father. Thank you so much that we can be women who love Jesus and who can obey you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay. If you're wondering what we're going to do tonight, it's going to be kind of a fun and interactive activity. And we're going to actually have a time to sit down, look at the Bible in a little group, answer some questions together, draw some conclusions, and then report back. So you are going to help me teach the lesson tonight, which I need a lot of help tonight. But what I want you to do right now is I want you to look around and Jessica, would you lead the first group? Julia, would you lead the next group? Marissa Bell, would you lead the next group? Mary Joy, would you lead the next group? That's 4. I'm getting to the point now where I can barely see people. Let's see here. I'm looking. Way back. Where's Cheryl? Is Cheryl hiding back there? Cheryl can lead the next group. Christy, would you lead a group? Kathy Stair, would you lead a group? 7? Perfect. Excellent. Now, you are the leader of the group. You have to make sure people talk about it. You're going to have a scripture to read. You're going to have some questions to look at, talk about. They relate back to maybe your life or to the scripture. Then I'm going to give you a piece of paper, and it's going to have this, and there are blanks right here. So as you guys discuss, you as the leader could get somebody who would like to report, or you can report, somebody to write, and you can report. And what you're going to do is write down your thoughts. Then I'm going to bring everybody back together again, and then we're going to discuss. You're going to report back, and I'm going to write it down on the poster. And we're going to draw some conclusions. And in case you don't know, this is Delilah, the letter spelled Delilah from the Bible. And each letter of her name has something to do with dating. Now, you may think, why in the world? I am happily married, and I have no intention of going out on a date. I'm spoken for. However, this applies, I think, to every single woman in here. It applies to the teens, because you're planning on going out on some dates. It applies to mothers who have young children, because one day your children will date. It applies to people who are parents of these teens, or parents of college students. It applies to the college students, because you're closer than probably anybody in here to making choices on who to marry. And if you're older like me, you may be giving advice to somebody. You may be asked a question in the fellowship. What do you think about this situation? What do you think about this brother or this situation that I've gotten myself into? What should I do? So I think this is going to be great. No matter who you are and what stage in life you're in, it's going to be very helpful. So I'm going to go through, and I think what might be best is you guys are not going to be able to talk to the folks over here if you don't move a little bit. So you guys may want to move over here and then give yourself some space so maybe you guys can kind of scooch in over there. I know it's aggravating, but thank you for being willing to do it. I really appreciate it. So. I'll give you a little bit of time to get set up, and I want to say let's take about 15 minutes, no longer than 15 minutes to do this, okay? Okay, in order to make things work out really quickly, if you are planning on sharing or reading a scripture, if you would come up here or up here and just sit and wait. If you're planning on reading a scripture or you're one of the people that's going to share, come on up and sit on these seats. For the rest of you, this is how I would like for you to organize your notes. Oh, you got to take notes? What? Actually, you just got a little piece of the puzzle in your group, so you want to know what everybody else talked about. This is how you need to organize your notes. D stands for dating. Skip a little space. E stands for everyone. L stands for lesson. D-E-L. L stands for love. I stands for instincts. A stands for angel of God. And then skip a little space. And H stands for hate. Okay? So, who is doing D? Who's got D? Okay? Why don't you guys come up here and you can take the mic and I'm going to write. Okay? Say what your scripture is. And you guys can see right up here.
You want us to start with the scripture?
Yes, go ahead and start with the scripture.
The scripture that we study, took
guys,
from
it's not time for talking now.
Is Ephesians 5, 3 through 11.
Ephesians 5, what was it?
3 through 11. Okay. But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no moral, impure, or greedy person, such a man as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, and find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them.
The first question was, what is dating like in the world and with your friends at work and school? Some of the conclusions that we came up with was right now there is some independency where many girls or many guys feel like they don't need to be with anybody. They can do what they want, they can go where they want, and they don't have to worry about, you know, trying to make someone else happy as long as they're happy. And also, maybe back then, dating was only for kissing.
Oh, making out.
Okay.
That is mild.
Okay. And
they were dating in the 60s.
Call them out. Call them out, Roxanne. And also, now it's more about sensuality and being lustful. And also, this goes for back then and now as well, that if you're single, you could be viewed as a loser, so maybe you need to be with somebody so that it's for status, for your looks, for companionship, for going out and just having somebody. The next question is, what do you think dating is supposed to be like in God's church? To encourage one another, feeling full of self-worth, value, and just that they want to be with you for who you are, pure, for friendship, refreshing, self-controlled, stress-free, and soapy clean.
Say that again.
Soapy clean.
Soapy clean.
I think I missed that part. Who brought that up?
Rachel wrote it.
Oh, okay. Okay. Okay, and the last question is, do you think there was dating in the Bible? We did come up with two possible couples, Ruth and then Esther.
Okay.
Great.
Thank you. Thanks for sharing. I don't know if you can see any of this. I actually had a nice big fat marker and I left it at home. Got it right by my plate at the dinner table and walked right out without it. But, you know, when you look at this and you see this and you say, okay, making out, sensuality, oh my word, that is mild. Let me tell you, I'm a middle school teacher. This is what dating looks like in fourth grade. Or in 1960. Okay? Dating now happens in the bathroom at school. It happens at parties, house parties on the weekends. It happens in the bedroom. Let me tell you, dating in the world is gross. It is totally about sex. Oh, thank you. It's totally about sex, and very rarely do you see what we have the privilege of experiencing in the kingdom of God. Now, one of the reasons why we're talking about this, and some of you who are teens, you might be tuning this out because you think, you know what, it's okay, because I can date really who I want to, because I'm nowhere close to getting married. That I can, you know, the guy that sits across from me in school, maybe even the guy who I go to work with at the Burger King after school, whatever, you may think, I'm not serious. Is there anybody in here who married their high school sweetheart? Who married their high school sweetheart? Turn around. And I want you to look. I want you to look at this room. Where's Celeste Freeman? When you go to her house, She's got her prom picture up on the wall. And guess who she's got? Who is in her prom picture? Patrick. Oh, it's so cute. So anyway, here's the deal. You know, we watched KNN News the other day. And do you know J.P. Tynes married Pat when she was 18 years old? So if you think you could possibly not find the person that you could possibly marry when you're in high school, think again. Every date you go out on is crucial. It's important. It may be for encouragement. It may be to let somebody feel special. However, you don't ever know who you're going to fall in love with. And that is what dating is ultimately for. You're picking a spouse. Who is a candidate for being a spouse? So let's go on. Everyone, E.
We had everyone. Our first scripture.
Don't do the scripture first.
Yes, read it.
Okay. Our first scripture.
I forgot. Genesis 24, 1 through 4.
Abraham was now old and well advanced in years, and the Lord had blessed him in every way. He said to the chief servant in his household, the one in charge of all that he had, "Put your hand under my thigh. I want you to swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that you will not get a wife from my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I am living, but you will go to my country among my own relatives and get a wife for my son Isaac."
Our question was, was everyone a candidate for marriage for God's people? No. Our second scripture.
Okay, the second scripture is Genesis 12 through 26. Then he prayed, 24, excuse me. Then he prayed, "O Lord, God of my master Abraham, give me success today and show kindness to my master Abraham. See, I am standing beside this spring, and the daughters of the townspeople are coming out to draw water. May it be that when I say to a girl, 'Please let down your jar that I may have a drink,' and she says, 'Drink, and I'll water your camels too,' let her be the one you have chosen for your servant Isaac. By this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master." Before he had finished praying, Rebekah came out with her jar on her shoulder. She was the daughter of Bethuel, son of Milcon, who was the wife of Abraham's brother, Nahor. The girl was very beautiful, a virgin. No man had ever lain with her. She went down to the spring, filled her jar, and came up again. The servant hurried to meet her and said, "Please give me a little water from your jar." "Drink, my lord," she said, and quickly lowered the jar to her hands and gave him a drink. After she had given him a drink, she said, "I'll draw water for your camels too, until they have finished drinking." So she quickly emptied her jar into the trough, ran back to the well to draw more water, and drew enough for all of his camels. Without saying a word, the man watched her closely to learn whether or not the Lord had made his journey successful. When the camels had finished drinking, the man took out a gold nose ring weighing beka and two gold bracelets weighing 10 shekels. Then he asked, "Whose daughter are you? Please tell me, is there room in your father's house for us to spend the night?" She answered him, "I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son that Malchon bore to Nahor." And she added, "We have plenty of straw and fodder, as well as room for you to spend the night." Then the man bowed down and worshiped the Lord.
Our second question was, what kind of women did the servant want to find for Isaac? Our answer was kindness, hospitable, beautiful, one that the Lord had chosen, a servant, a virgin, and one from his relative. Our third scripture.
Third scripture can be found in 1 Kings 11, 1 through 2. King Solomon, however, loved many foreign women besides Pharaoh's daughter, Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, Hittites. They were from nations about which the Lord had told the Israelites, "You must not intermarry with them, because they will surely turn your hearts after their gods." Nevertheless, Solomon held fast to them in love.
The third question was, what did God promise would happen if you married just anyone? They will turn you away from God and to their gods, cannot be yoked in two different directions.
I'm going to write down those scriptures. I don't know, did everybody get those? They were Genesis 24, and that was 1 through 4, and then 12 through 26, and then 1 Kings 11, 1 through 2. Now, the last folks who got up and talked right before this group, they were, their question was, do you think there was dating in the Bible? Well, you know, I don't know. I really can't see any example. And sometimes people give that as an excuse. You know, you can't tell me that the Bible says anything about dating, so I'm just going to date who I want to do and do what I want to do. And so what you see here is this daddy who loved God sent out somebody to find a wife for his daughter, I mean for his son. And so he had some very specific criteria. He sent him to a very special place to look for very specific criteria. And when we had Gary teach the Genesis class recently, we learned that Abraham came from Canaanites. But I can't help but believe that Abraham was chosen by God because of something he saw in his family. And so he had nowhere else to go to. There weren't other Jews to go to. He had to go back to his family to find somebody, and God looked down and spotted him. There must have been some good things in that family. So he went back, and it's not like today where you can't marry your cousin. It's not, you know, the gene pool was, I guess, pretty diverse still at that point. And so he was able to go back and find a relative. Very specific things. And he put it before God, and God blessed him. I have been praying for my children and who they should marry since they were born. And I'm not kidding. We still pray in the car in the mornings, and I've started praying for Ephraim and Stephanie. And this is my prayer. God, please help. Please find a spouse for my children who will help them remain disciples. They will remain a disciple. They will raise my grandchildren to be disciples, and I will see every one of them in heaven. That is my specific prayer for all my kids. Okay, let's go on to the next one. The next one is lessons.
The scripture is Judges 16, 15 through 20.
Okay. She tormented him with her nagging day after day, until he was sick to death of it. Finally, Samson shared his secret with her. "My hair has never been cut," he confessed, "for I was dedicated to God as a Nazarite from birth. If my head were shaved, my strength would leave me, and I would become as weak as anyone else." Delilah realized he has finally told her the truth, so she went for the Philistine rulers,
Come back one more time, she said, for he has finally told me his secret. So the Philistine rulers returned with the money in their hands. Delilah lured Samson to sleep with his head in her lap, and then she called in the man to shave off the 7 locks of his hair. In this way she began to bring him down, and his strength left him. Then she cried out, "Samson, the Philistine has come to capture you." When he woke up, he thought, I will do as before and shake myself free. But he didn't realize the Lord has left him.
Mm-hmm. The question was, what happened to Samson when he was united with an ungodly Philistine woman, Delilah? And the answers were, all that was important went out the window. He was blinded by her beauty. He lost his head, no pun intended. And he was the wisest man in the world. Okay, the second scripture is 1 Kings 11, 3 through 6.
He had 700 wives for a royal birth and 300 concubines. And in fact, they did turn his heart away from God. Mm-hmm. In Samson's old age, he turned his heart to worship other gods instead of becoming completely faithful to the Lord, his God, as his father David, his father had been. Solomon worshiped Astaroth and goddess of his Sidonites and Molochs and detestable gods of the Ammonites. In this way, Solomon did what was evil in the Lord's sight. He refused to follow the Lord completely as his father David had done.
Okay, the question is, what happened to Solomon when he married women who were not Hebrew? And our conclusions were, he began praying to other gods. He did not follow God. He was brought up a certain way by David, but he did not follow God. He lost God's favor, and he lost the vision of who God was and took his talent for granted.
In case you didn't get that, it was Judges 16, 15 through 20. Let's see. And it was 1 Kings 11, 3 through 6. So that was actually talking about two different people. The first one was talking about Samson. The second one was talking about Solomon. Yes. Oh, yes, I know. I was thinking. Go ahead, Cynthia. God makes an absolute promise. You know, we think that we can outsmart God. We think that we can fix people. You know, we look at that person and we say, oh my gosh, he's so sweet. He's so awesome. He's so spiritual. Have you ever seen Facebook? I bet you 99% of the people on Facebook are Christian. Right. I mean to tell you, I have seen on the little line, Christian, or your or Christianity or spiritual or whatever, and you go down and you read through it, and you have to turn the page because it is gross. Do not be fooled, my sisters. Samson was deceived, very deliberately deceived. And let me tell you, there are people out there right now who want to very deliberately deceive you, to get you to do what they want you to do, which goes back to that very first one. It's all about sex. All about sex. Just ask any of us who are married and find out how many times and how often our husbands think about sex. I'm telling you. If you're a teenager and you've got guy friends at school, multiply that by 50. Don't be fooled. You won't fix them. They won't change. But God promises they will pull you away. That's a promise. God knows. We get fooled. Okay, let's look at love. Who has love?
Okay, we're going to read 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 18. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Belial, which is another word for the devil? What does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty.
And our first question is, why is unity important to dating and marriage? And we talked a little bit about what a yoke was. One of our members in our group thought it was an egg yolk, but we corrected that. We talked about the yoke and how it was put on the oxen to make the oxen go in the same direction. And so we talked about when you're connected or yoked to someone, you're going to go in the same direction. So if you're of light and darkness, you know, somebody's going to go in the direction of the other. And 9 times out of 10, like you were saying, actually 10 times out of 10, you're going to go in the direction of the darkness. And it says here, someone else also said that, you know, you're not going to have harmony. You're going to have conflict. Because I shared about the fact that when I became a disciple, I was married to a non-Christian. And that it was a challenge because there was no harmony. Because, you know, you're living with someone whose Lord is Satan. And that's very, very difficult. You know, there are people whose husbands have become disciples. And then there are people whose husbands have not become disciples. And it's not an impossible situation, but it's very challenging. And I've done it the wrong way, and I've done it the right way, and God's way works. Amen. Absolutely.
Okay. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres.
And our second question was, what is true love? And had a lot of different responses, that true love is selfless. That true love looks to the best interest of others, and that true love is not a feeling; it's a commitment. You know, it's true love is God. It's the love that God has for us. I'll save the other ones for the last question. Oh, we don't have a scripture for that one. The last question was, what kind of love do we see when we see dating in the movies or on TV? And it says here, current popular shows, Jersey Shore, Wild Girls, Desperate Housewives, some of these shows I haven't seen, Two Men and a Boy. Two Men and a Boy. I'm sorry? What is it? Oh, yes.
I don't watch it. I can't.
Okay. 2.5 minutes. Okay. All right. So what kind of love do we see when we see dating in the movies or on TV? And we put down physical, sexual attraction, infatuation, superficial. It's conditional. You know, it's based on how you look or, you know, how fine you are and all that kind of stuff. That it's selfish and also temporary. Here today, gone tomorrow.
That was me. That wasn't Diane that said the two men and a little boy or whatever. I don't know. That just goes to show. I haven't seen that show. I just know about it. But let me just tell you, you laugh about the Jersey Shore and you laugh about these other things. Well, let me tell you, in my class at school, this is what the girls at my school base dating relationships on. This is what they think is cool and what they should be doing and how they should be acting. Gross. It is gross. Let's see, 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 18. And 1 Corinthians 13. And that was 4 through 8. Now, I want to be sure that I'm very clear about something. There are some sisters in here who are married to people who are not disciples. I do not want you to feel discouraged. I don't want you to think that it is not hope. There's not hope for you. In fact, you are the hope. God says you stay in that situation. God says, you try, you be faithful, you win your husband over by the purity and reverence of your life. You are your husband's hope. What I am talking about is the people who are right now thinking, who am I going to marry? Who am I? Don't make that mistake. And I'm not saying they made a mistake. It could be for almost every one of those sisters, they were already married when they became disciples. And it is what it is. And God has a plan for them. And God has a plan for you. And there's hope. And, you know, people study the Bible and they become disciples. And you are their hope. Please don't give up. And please don't think this is talking about you. I'm talking about mothers who can help their daughters. I'm talking about girls who could be dating. And I'm talking about people who might be giving advice to other people. Please, please don't be confused about that. But you know what? We have through God's kingdom, we have a plan. We actually have something to where when our husbands don't do the right thing, that we can actually get help. And our husbands are called to the same standard. Imagine if your husband isn't called to the same standard and you're trying to do right in a dating relationship or you're trying to do right as a wife and you have no hope, no one to turn to. They have no convictions. What are you going to do in that situation? So God has a plan for us and we have help. The next one is instincts.
In our discussion group, we had I for instincts. We started off in Judges 14, 1 through 3.
Okay. I got it.
Samson went down to Timnah and saw there a young Philistine woman. When he returned, he said to his father and mother, I have seen a Philistine woman in Timnah. Now get her for me as my wife. His father and mother replied, Isn't there an acceptable woman among your relatives or among all our people? Must you go to the uncircumcised Philistines to get a wife? But Samson said to his father, Get her for me. She's the right one for me.
The question was, what do you think attracted Samson to the first Philistine woman? The answer that we came up with is that she was good looking. That's all he want. He just saw her looks.
Okay, the next scripture is Judges 16, 1 through 4. One day, Samson went to Gaza, where he saw a prostitute. He went in to spend the night with her. The people of Gaza were told, Samson is here. So they surrounded the place and lay in wait for him all night at the city gate. They made no move during the night, saying, At dawn we'll kill him. But Samson lay there only until the middle of the night. Then he got up and took hold of the doors of the city gate, together with the two posts, and tore them loose, bar and all. He lifted them to his shoulders and carried them to the top of the hill that faces Hebron. Sometime later, he fell in love with a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah.
The question for that scripture was, what attracted Samson to Delilah? What we came up with was, Samson really doesn't think about his consequences or his action. He doesn't look at character. Again, he just looked at the way that she looked. The third question is, what do you look for when dating someone? The answers that we came up with were attraction, compatibility, gentleness, love for God, best friend, genuine love, and that the man is a man of his word and honest.
Okay, it looks like our husbands are out there and the men are done. So I'm going to move very quickly. The whole point to that story was they were doing exactly the opposite. They started off with the end, and then once that is over and done with, then you wake up and say, "Oh my gosh, who am I with? I don't even like them. They're gross." When God's plan is friendship, and you build, and you build, and you build, and you go steady, and then you get engaged, and then you get married, and then you experience the unity that God is talking about in the scriptures, okay? It isn't the last thing first. Angel of God, we need to do this super quickly. Oh, let me give out those scriptures that they just had. It was Judges 14, 1 through 3. And Judges 16, 1 through 4. Okay, angel of God.
And I'm not even going to do this anymore.
You read the scripture, and I'll just go ahead. Good question. Okay. Our scripture is in, the first one's in Judges 13, 2 through 5. It says, A certain man of Zorah named Manao from the clan of Danites had a wife who was sterile and remained childless. The angel of the Lord appeared to her and said, You are sterile and childless, but you are going to conceive and have a son. Now see it to that you don't drink no wine or any other fermented drink, that you do not eat anything unclean, because you will conceive and give birth to a son. No razor may be used on his head, because the boy is to be a Nazarite set apart to God from birth, and he will begin the deliverance of Israel from the hands of the Philistines.
The question was, what was God's plan for Samson? And what we came up with was, God wanted Samson to deliver Israel from the hands of the Philistines and be a leader and be set apart for God.
Our next scripture is Jeremiah 29, verse 11. It says, For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future.
What do you think God has planned for your future? Really just to give us hope in a future, to prosper us and for us to have a relationship with him, but we have to seek him first. How does dating, marrying outside the church mess up those plans? And God says that we need to be equally yoked, and he has someone spiritual picked out for all of us. And if we go out in the world and try and find like a guy, he can steer us off in the right path. I mean, off the right path, and turn us away from God. That's it.
Okay, that was Judges 13, 2 through 5, Jeremiah 29, 11. God had a plan for Samson. He still worked that plan, but he was miserable, and he lost God. God's plans are not going to be thwarted. Whatever God chooses to do, he's going to do it. We don't mess up God's plan, but we can mess up God's plan for our life. God doesn't want any of us to suffer. He doesn't want bad things for any of us. He wants it great. He wants it perfect. It really amounts to the free will he blesses us with, our choices. God's going to do what he's going to do. The last one is hate. Come on up, please.
We had a first question without a scripture. It says, "What do you think would be some of the results of dating or marrying the wrong person? Stress, petty and constant arguments, drama, violence, obsession, anger issues, trust issues, messed up children." Unresolved issues, adultery, and of course, divorce.
Our first scripture is Malachi 2:16. It says, "I hate divorce, says the Lord God of Israel, and I hate a man's covering himself with violence as well as with his garment, says the Lord Almighty. So guard yourself in the spirit and do not break faith." And our second one, we had two in one, is 1 Corinthians 7:39. "A woman is bound to her husband as long as he lives. But if her husband dies, she is free to marry anyone she wishes. But he must belong to the Lord."
The second question for that was, what will God allow you to do if you marry the wrong person? Marriage counseling, make sure it's from a spiritual person. So that you won't return to number two, or number one. always getting advice. Divorce is definitely not an option. Only exception we wrote here, the only exception is adultery. And if he wants to leave, then that's his choice. We wrote here.
Okay, one more scripture in Acts 2. 38 and 39. Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call."
What is the difference when two spiritual disciples date and marry? You both have the Holy Spirit in the Bible, the same standards. Kids are better off. No matter what happens, there's hope, there's security and trust in God. That's it.
Yep. Okay, those scriptures really quickly were Malachi 2:16, 1 Corinthians 7:39, and then Acts 2:38 and 39. And, it's really important. God has very strong convictions about what's right and what's wrong, and we need to have the same convictions as God. Even though there may not be dating per se in the scriptures, I think we can see from this God has definite ideas, definite opinions. How you get married is definitely cultural. Very different things, no matter what culture you come from, very different things. Here in the United States, it is primarily dating. We think a lot about freedom and choice and falling in love. Others, you have to get permission from parents, or they might even choose for you. However, no matter what it is, this is God's plan for us, and there is hope if we do it the right way.